Another episode.
Hello.
It's been quite some time since we did our last episode.
It feels like a couple of weeks, at least 3 weeks since we did an episode.
Yeah, it's been hectic. I just got a job and it's been putting in some real corporate hours.
Yeah, it's been kind of upside down here.
Yeah, I was law and order in the household. I'm gone. We have a great guest tonight. I was wondering if you could share with our people about our new guest.
Yeah, so I know we both on social media. Have you ever met anyone via social media that you just clicked with?
Yeah, yes, brothers.
Yeah, even though you never met them in person, you just felt like your stories are the same. You have a lot in common. And you both have the same mission aligned.
Yes.
So that's our next guest. So let's welcome Michelle Carroll to the show. She's a mom of two. She has 10 years plus experience of being a medical analyst. Currently, she's focused on health and wellness through plants, herbs, and nutrition. She's a social justice advocate and a special needs mom warrior. Yes.
Yes. Welcome, Michelle. Welcome. Wow, we're already connecting.
Hello, thank you.
It's like we already connect. It's like everything connects.
Exactly, we're aligned already.
That's awesome. Welcome to the show, and again, thank you. And I'm really looking forward to hearing your story, your journey, and what you're planning to do with this opportunity that's been put before you now.
Yeah, so you could just start, and I'll give a little background. She's going to talk about her son, her youngest son.
Oh, please.
So can you just start by telling his journey?
Yeah.
Absolutely. So Jaden is 5 years old. He was born healthy throughout my pregnancy. Everything was perfect. We had no issues, no complications or anything like that. When I was pregnant, I declined the DTaP vaccine. I also declined the flu shot vaccine. Dave and I, Jaden's father, we were doing our research about vaccines, and I didn't want to vaccinate him. And Dave was more so 90% that he didn't want to. When we were in the hospital, after we had Jaden, we had declined the Hep B vaccine. Mm-hmm. They gave him the iDUPE without us knowing, and also the vitamin K. Immediately, he was jaundiced. And so we had to do phototherapy. We actually had to do phototherapy at home. We got him home and everything was fine. My plan was to breastfeed him. And when they had discharged us, my milk supply hadn't really come in yet, which wasn't any too concerned. He was born 7 pounds, 6 ounces. So he was born pretty normal size. They wanted us to follow up with our pediatrician at the end of that week after we were discharged, just to check his weight and stuff like that. Because my milk hadn't come in yet, and they just wanted to check him. We got out of the hospital without any vaccines, except they did do the Hep B without us knowing.
Oh, wait, they did the Hep B?
I'm sorry. We declined the Hep B. They forced the Hep B on us when we went to the pediatrician's office. So we did get out of the hospital without giving the Hep B, but they gave the vitamin K injection. So we went to the pediatrician's office 2 days later. They checked his weight, and the doctor pretty much forced us into getting the Hep B vaccine. He told us we were causing more harm to our child if we didn't get it, and it was the pressure. And we had chose this pediatrician actually because somebody that I went to school with told us that they were more relaxed and that you could space them out and that it wasn't going to be any kind of pressure at all. And so when we were in there that day, they wanted to write blood work to check his bilirubin levels, and they pretty much pressured us into getting the Hep B. So what had happened was we had gotten his blood work done, and the doctor got the lab results back right away, and his bilirubin levels were, like, way high. They were 18. And when they discharged us, they were 9. When he was born, they were 7. So his levels had elevated after the Hep B vaccine from that day in the doctor's office from the time that we had taken him to get blood work. So they had ordered phototherapy at home. We did the phototherapy at home. And that was hard, too, because they give you this they call it a blanket, a wallaby blanket, but it's really just a piece of plastic that wraps around their body. And they're like, he has to stay in this. The only time he can not be wrapped up in it is when you're nursing. And so we felt like we didn't have a lot of skin-to-skin contact immediately because they created so much fear of him not being doing the phototherapy for the first 4 days when we had him home. So then we had to go back again at week 3 to check his weight because they were telling us that if he wasn't back up to his birth weight, because he had lost not even 2 ounces from the day he was born till discharge, they said that they wanted to supplement with formula. So when we had gone back to the pediatrician, he was back up at his birth weight. It was great. We didn't have to supplement or anything like that. And then everything was great. He was sleeping and feeding great, no concerns at all. And we went to our 2-month well visit. And the same thing. They told us that we had to get the shots. If we didn't get the shots, then we couldn't be patients there anymore, and that we weren't going to be able to find another pediatrician that would see him because all the pediatricians were not, like, accepting patients unless they were vaccinated. And but they created a lot of fear again. And something was telling me, like, it was definitely the Holy Spirit telling me that day not to go through with the vaccines, because I just felt in my body that something was going to go wrong that day. And we caved. We didn't protect him. We had family in our ear telling us that the same thing. If we didn't vaccinate him, we were causing more harm than good. And so we had gotten him home. And actually, as we were leaving the doctor's office, Dave had said to me, the injection that he had gotten in his left thigh was the DTaP vaccine. And and she basically administered the DTaP vaccine in his thigh like she was giving somebody an EpiPen. Like, she pulled her arm back, and it was basically hard.
I'm sorry. She jabbed him? That's what
jabbed him pretty hard. And yikes. As we were walking out of the doctor's office, Dave was like, is that normal, the one that she gave him in his leg? And I was like, no, it wasn't, because my daughter from my previous, this is his first time going through all this, so he's never seen vaccines given, and I have, and I'm like, that's not normal. What she did in his thigh, she gave him like she was, like, going after his leg. And so we had gotten him home, and he had a little bit of a fever. They told us that if he had a little bit of fever, to give him Motrin and alternate Motrin and Tylenol, which is huge no-no.
Yes, definitely Tylenol.
Tylenol depletes glutathione, which is to help function, your liver function properly. And Tylenol is one of the things that should never, ever be given before or, you know, after vaccines. And I'm not a doctor, but I've done my research. Like I said, I was a medical analyst for, you know, over 10 years. And I've done my fair share of research to know that Tylenol is extremely dangerous for your liver, especially around the time you have vaccines. He had a little bit of a fever. He had this, like, piercing scream, which they call the DTaP scream, which basically is like encephalitis, brain swelling.
Yes.
He had this scream, and his left leg, within a few days, his left leg kept jerking, like doing these little jerk spasms, but it wasn't anything that we would think would be like seizure related. And then he developed respiratory infections. Now, Jaden was born in the summer. He was born in May. Newborn babies don't get sick, and they don't get back-to-back respiratory infections unless there's, you know, something going on. So we had taken him to the pediatrician for the respiratory infection, and they said, oh, it's just a little cold or whatever. And we were at the doctor's between 2 months and 4 months well visit. We were at the doctor's a few times because we were concerned. He sounded raspy, but they said he was fine. He didn't need any antibiotics or anything like that. Everything was good. Just a little cold, they told us. When we had asked the nurse about the jerking in his leg, we were concerned. We actually thought that when it was administered, we thought that they may have hit a nerve, which is possible, yes, which was causing the leg jerking. We never in a million years ever thought that it would be seizures. That did not cross our mind at all. And the nurse told us that it was nothing to be concerned about. It was just normal baby goo-goo-gaga motion, stuff like that. We didn't think anything of it. So then it was like the following month. So this was August 2016. He had his tumor shots. And then September, we were back and forth in the doctors. And then it was like a week shy of his 4-month wellness visit. And we had taken him in again because he still wasn't getting better. And this has been going on for a week. And this is before I, like, was reading inserts and before I knew that, like, respiratory issues are listed as adverse reactions. I didn't know any of that, you know, and of course they won't tell you. But so it was like a week before he was due for his 4 month well visit. And like we got in there and they kept telling us like, he's okay. But while you're here, let's just give him his 4 month vaccines. And we're like, hold on, he's sick. He's not feeling well. We're not going through with this. And they're like, he doesn't have a fever. So he's okay to get them. And I'm like, I'm feeling unsure about this. Like, we're not going to go through with it. So we had actually left that pediatrician because we felt pressured and we went to where we were taking my daughter. And when we had gotten there, we had faced the fact that they were telling us that we could not be patients there. We weren't going to find a pediatrician to see our son. Then they can get Child Protective Services involved if we weren't going to routine visits and if we didn't follow the CDC schedule. So, you know, like they were creating fear in our minds, again, if we didn't get his 4 month vaccine. It was like, we were like, nope, he's still not feeling well. And they're like, come back next week, we'll come back and we'll check on him. And at this point, this was like, we were into October. So we go back the following week, he's still not feeling well, he didn't have a fever. And they told us, they're like, well, you already started with the vaccines, he needs to continue with them. And of course, we didn't know. We were uneducated, we didn't know. We were still actually, you know, just learning about vaccines, and we hadn't connected with anybody or any groups online or anything like that to know that this is a real issue and that this is happening more than we actually thought it was. So again, 4 months, we caved and we got home, and he basically had the same reaction that he had from 2 month vaccines, except that it was like 100 times worse. Instead of his left leg going shaking, it was both legs going up and down simultaneously. It was like the beginning of these tonic-clonic seizures. We had monitored him like over the next few days, and then a weekend, it was the first week, so that was the end of October, and then it was Election Day 2016. It was November 7th, I think it was. We woke up at 7 a.m. and Jaden was in a full tonic-clonic seizure. So that's when our nightmare truly began. We had rushed him to Children's Hospital of Philadelphia, and we didn't call 911. We drove him down there. He was okay at that point. We're about 30 minutes from the hospital, and David dropped me off. I ran in with him in my arms. He was seizing in my arms. Dave was going to park the car, and they immediately took me back, and they laid him down. He was just convulsing. There was like, I don't know, a ton of doctors and nurses surrounded him. I just remember going out in the hallway, like screaming for Dave because, like, he just laid there like lifeless.
Oh, and, yeah. Oh, yes, we know.
You know, it was something that I'll never, ever forget. I'll just never forget the day that we had taken him to CHOP. That's when everything just went downhill. They said that he was having seizures. They admitted him. At that point, he was having between 10 and 13 a day. They admitted him for 3 days. The second night, I think it was the second night that we were there, they started him on Trileptal. And at this point, Jaden was 5.5 months old because they were denying were seizures. They were denying that he was sick.
And I don't mean to interrupt you. I'm sorry. 5.5 months. So you're telling me you and your husband are going through this every month for 5.5 months? He's barely been home.
Yes. So it started the 2 month vaccines, and then, like I said, from 2 to 4 months, he was back to back sick with respiratory infections. We were in and out of the doctors, and it's not funny, but like the crazy thing is, like, I was asking them, like, is he having a reaction to the vaccine? And they would document in his record, Mom seems to think that seizures and reactions and sickness is from vaccines, but we're assuring her that she needs to continue.
That's that's how they cover their behinds. That's one of the things that gets me upset, is the way they dismiss and as a mother, better than they do, they ask the questions because they have no clue.
Exactly. You guys know, it's like when you watch your perfectly healthy child just like do a complete 180 and regress, it didn't happen like overnight. This was over the course of a few months. And then after the 4 month shot is when it was too much. It was overload in his system. It was way too much. And so they had started him on Trileptal. I think it was the second night he was in there, and he didn't sleep. You know how it is. When you go to the hospital, you're uncomfortable. They're coming in to check you, whatever. We didn't think that him not sleeping was a result from the medication. We just thought that he wasn't sleeping because he was hooked up to the EEGs, the overactive continuous EEGs, and he was just uncomfortable. So day three, they told us that we had to titrate up. So you guys know it's seizure medication.
Yes.
You have to go slow to get to the full dose. And then when you come down, you have to go slow because it can cause seizures. Seizure medications can trigger seizures if you dose up or down too slow or too fast. We got him home, and I think it was about, I don't know, it was several weeks before we got him to the full dose of Trilectal. But over the course of those few weeks, like, everything got worse. So we didn't notice, like, a bunch of, so he was having seizures that we could visually see, and then he was also having seizures that we could not see that were occurring, like, in his brain, but we weren't able to see them, but
yes,
they were picking up on the EEG. The seizures that we were able to see, they started to slowly go away, but then we noticed a whole bunch of side effects were coming. Jaden was pretty much rolling over before they put him on the medication. He had stopped rolling, he had stopped sleeping. He pretty much developed severe insomnia with Trilectal and a little bit of regression. And we were still going to Children's Hospital of Philadelphia, and we were trying to get him off of that medication. We just wanted to switch medications. We weren't trying to get him off of the meds because we wanted the seizures controlled. And this was really before we knew how dangerous these medications were.
Yeah.
And Children's Hospital of Philadelphia wouldn't take him off. They wanted to keep increasing. They're like, he's still not at the dose for his weight. We need to keep going up. And I'm like, no, we're not going up. So that's when we had booked an appointment with DuPont Hospital. And we couldn't get in to see them until, like, June. And in April of 2017, we actually ended up in the emergency room there before our appointment. And because he was having all these blank stare episodes. So sure enough, he was having absent seizures. The Trilectal wasn't controlling the seizures. We were just seeing different ones that were coming on. We were in the emergency room. It turns out that the neurologist that was, you know, in the ER that day was the one that we had booked the appointment with. So we were going to see her in June. She agreed that he was having a side effect from the Trilectal and that she wanted to start him on Keppra. Yeah. Keppra Rage. She wanted to start him on Keppra, so we had agreed. We just wanted him off the Trilectal. She said, we'll start at a low dose of Keppra. Once we get to the full dose of Keppra, then we'll start weaning him from the Trilectal. So here goes several more weeks of trying to get to the full dose of a new medication before we can even start weaning him from the Trilectal.
Yes, a vicious cycle.
So we get home that Friday night. He wasn't admitted at that day. He was just in and out of the ER. We get home Friday night. He spiked a fever. It was 105. And then he started having nocturnal seizures. So he started having seizures around the clock in his sleep. And I had no idea what was going on. I thought maybe he was sick. We were in and out of the hospital, I think, by Monday. So his fever broke. And then Monday, I think that was the day that we had called 911 twice because the seizures were just uncontrollable back-to-back. So Keppra caused nocturnal seizures. It caused irritability on top of the side effects from the Trilectal, the insomnia and the regression.
Oh,
he stopped rolling.
That poor boy.
It was just a nightmare. We were starting to lose eye contact with him. And then fast forward a few months, we get off the Trilectal, we're at the full dose of Keppra, the seizures are getting worse. Then they're like, let's add Vimpat. We added Vimpat. I don't even think he was on the full dose of Vimpat, and it was causing bradycardia, which is like low heart rate. So his heart rate was like in the 50s. It was very low. It was very low, not normal. She pulled him from that, and then they started him on Onfi. He was almost 14 months old. So, like, the seizures were never controlled. We never had control of the seizures. I started learning about the ketogenic diet. I had asked about keto. I had asked about CBD, and, you know, they kept telling us, oh, no, CBD, you can't do CBD. It's not legal. You can't give him that. And at the time, since we live in Pennsylvania, medical marijuana was not legal medicinally. We weren't able to give him that. And we didn't know. We didn't know the laws. We didn't know that we could give him CBD at the time. And so I just started. And then with the keto diet, they told us that we would have to be admitted. But in order for us to even try or CBD, his body would have to fail 4 different medications before we resulted to nutrition or natural stuff. They told us 4 meds his body would have to reject, right?
4?
So that's not true.
And I'm assuming at max levels, too.
Like, exactly.
No, I think that was the, just to interject, we did keto after two, right?
After two?
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. They told us four. It was crazy. And at that point, I just started researching, like, just foods that were lower in carbs. Like, I noticed certain things, like bananas were big triggers for him. Mm-hmm. So, like, I started pulling out foods, like fruits and stuff, and higher carb vegetables. He's never had anything processed. He's never had anything with artificial colors or flavors or anything like that. So his nutrition has been amazing. His nutrition has been on point with everything, which has been great because he's pretty easy. So his food, he doesn't, so Jaden, okay, so not to go too far ahead, but with the ONC, they gave him ONC. He was about 14 months old, and that's when ONC was, it basically took over his body. We started seeing hallucinations. We started, now for those that don't know, ONC is classified as a benzo. So when you think about drugs that associate with that, like, it's compared to the heroin epidemic. The benzo epidemic is actually up there with the heroin epidemic. Oh. Here we are giving our son a controlled substance that we knew nothing about. There was no informed consent or anything like that. They're just like, here, you got to start him on this. And we listened. We trusted our doctors that they were looking out for his best interest. They never told us this drug he would become dependent on. They never told us that if we were to take him off of it, that he would go through withdrawal. They never told us any of that. So we had started him on the ONC, and like I said, we saw hallucinations. We saw, it was to the point where he couldn't hold his head up. He was having head drops. So we had, and they told us, oh, his body needs to get used to it. That was the excuse every time. His body needs to adjust. We need to get to the full dose. So his full dose was 2 milliliters, and it was liquid. So 2 milliliters twice a day, which isn't a lot. You think of 2 milliliters, it's really not a lot. So we got to the full dose. And he kept getting worse. He was declining. One eye would look to the left. The other eye would look down to the right. Drooling. He couldn't hold his head up. He would have, like, rashes on his, like, inflammation on his skin. Clear signs that his body was also not taking to this medication like they wanted it to. So then I called, and they said, go up another 0.5 milliliter.
What?
A 0.5 milliliter.
And he was 14 months, right?
Within 24 hours, he was... The hallucination, and he was seeing things, he was frightened. This is a 14-month-old baby, and you're watching them go through these things. And I said to Dave, what is going on with his body? And it looks like he's hallucinating.
Really? So, what would that look like physically? Like, because for an audience, try to imagine a 14-month-old hallucinating.
Yeah. On his medical records, it says positive for hallucination. So he would basically, like, try and fall asleep. And then his eyes would close, and his body was really relaxed. And then his eyes would pop open, and then he would start to get frightened, hyperventilate, and start to cry. Like, he was seeing things that weren't, it was really bad. It was really bad.
I feel for him.
So we had taken him, we had rushed him back down to the hospital, and the ER doctor was like, oh, these look like head drop seizures. And I'm like, head drop seizures? Here we go. Now we have another seizure. So they hooked him up to the EEG. They were not head drop seizures. They actually checked the drug levels of the ONC, and it turns out, and I don't know exactly the range, but let's just say the normal range was between like 300 and 800. His was like 3,000.
Oh my God.
Yeah. So his body.
How's that legal?
Was not. Yeah. And this is the dose that they're telling us to give him. So later that night, they dropped his dose down from, because at that point they had told us 2.5 milliliters, so they dropped his dose down to 1 milliliter. And that's a huge jump. That's a huge jump.
That's a huge drop,
down. That's a huge drop. So, of course, it's triggering these seizures, but he was able to hold his head up again. So that's when they realized it was the medication that was causing his muscle tone to pretty much go away.
Yep.
They, even in his, those kind of drugs, suppress the central nervous system. Drugs aren't even, they're not even FDA approved for children. Most of them aren't even.
No,
FDA
they're not. They're
for,
off label.
Yes. We actually had, yes, you're exactly right, because when we went to go get the one prescription filled, the pharmacist told us that the insurance wouldn't cover it because it wasn't FDA approved for people his age.
That's correct.
When we were like, whoa, like, we really need to start looking into everything at that point, because we're like, if the pharmacist is telling us that he shouldn't be on it, why are doctors prescribing these drugs that
good
have
question.
Serious,
good
life-threatening question. Side effects? It is a good question.
Yeah, because it's the same thing with Depakote, because Depakote is not recommended for children under 12, but yet
right.
they're prescribing it. And they had our son, the same situation, had him on a dose that was like 1,000 milligrams.
Yeah.
That's like for an adult male.
Wow.
That was
yeah.
over 200 pounds.
Wow. And he was and 2 years old at the time.
He was 2 years old and about 30 pounds, if that.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah,
see?
I was
it's
irate.
Crazy. It's
yeah.
crazy.
Yeah.
And they're just like, oh, it's okay, it's okay. Like, they don't tell you. There's, like I said, there's no informed consent. There's
no.
absolutely, and the same
no.
thing with the, and it goes the same with the vaccines. The pharmaceuticals and the vaccines, there's no informed consent.
No.
And so they actually, they reduced his ONSI down a little bit. And then we had met with his neurologist afterward. And, you know, I said, okay, we went through Trileptal, Keppra, Vimpat, ONSI. We went through four medications. I said, I want the keto diet. She's like, well, you have to be admitted for that. And then it was the runaround. The woman who does that, she's out on maternity leave. And then it was like months before we could even get in to get it scheduled. So I started doing low carb with him, and we had him seizure free for a while. And we were getting him off the ONSI, and as we were coming down an ONSI, and like everything else we had already gotten him off of, and ONSI was the last medication that we were dosing down. But it took us over 10 months to wean him from just 2 milliliters of ONSI. We actually had to pause in, what was it? The beginning of 2018, we had to pause because so cannabis was in the process of becoming legal for medical. And so I found a doctor. It was very new in the stages of the legalization and everything like that. And many doctors were not certified at that point. And in Pennsylvania, fortunately, I was very fortunate. So even though his doctors were in Delaware were saying no, I found a doctor in Pennsylvania that was saying, yes, I dare somebody to come at me saying this child does not need this medication. Yeah, all we had to do was take him to a doctor that was certified in the program and take his medical records, and they certified him. And he's been on the program ever since. We actually, the only way we were able to get him off of ONSI was medical marijuana. That was the only way we were able to get him off of it. We went through severe withdrawal. It was like he was crawling out of his skin. He couldn't sit still. It was almost like he had like bugs crawling out of his skin. He was just jittery.
Yes, that heroin withdrawal.
Yes, that's exactly what it is. Exactly what it is.
So we're going to stop this part one, and we're going to do part two. So everyone tune in for part two.
We just want to say good night to everyone. Thank you for tuning in. And please tune in for the part two.